everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message.
So in 2018, I've been at the church for a couple of years, and in 2018, I just kind of felt like in my leadership and what I've got to do with this church, I kind of hit a lid. Like there's some things that, like I've got to do some pretty cool things. I've got to hang out with some cool people. I've got to preach certain things the way I've wanted to. I've got to, like Pastor Colby and Christina, I got to help them lead a campus in Owosso. Like that was really awesome. And I got to do some really fun stuff here as a church. I mean, the youth ministry was going well, and like there was some good things happening. But I just felt like I hit like a leadership kind of lid. Like there was just nothing really challenging me anymore. And so I remember I sat down with Pastor Brent and I talked to him. I said, man, I want to do something like I haven't done before. And we were just kind of going through the things. And one of the things that I realized I had never done is I never led a mission team on an international trip. Like that was one thing I've never been able to do. I've never done it. And so that year we decided that we were going to go to Guatemala and that I was going to lead that trip to Guatemala. And I'm just going to tell you, I love that. Like that's probably still my favorite trip we ever went on. We got work done, but man, we laughed a ton on that trip. And we went to Guatemala. We had a good team with us there and we got to go down the streets and go hang out. And one of the goals of that trip were we were going to build a house for a family in Guatemala. Now, I know you look at me and you think, man, he's definitely a mechanic. He's definitely a good construction guy. I know you think that about me, but this is going to shock you. I hope you're sitting down for this. I'm not very good with my hands, all right? That's not like a thing that is the top for me. And so I knew that if I was going on this trip, I had to take some really, really smart guys that knew what they were doing. And so we kind of gathered this team together, and we started to go to this place, and we started to work on this house. Now, one of the things about the house is you had to take some nails, and like you couldn't have a nail gun. It was hammer nails the whole time. That's what this whole thing was. And what we kind of even realized on this trip were the people that we were working with, the people in Guatemala on the mission team, they were paid by the day. And so, like, I brought Clint Holt and Kenny White and Richard Coe and some people like that. And if you know those guys, they just work really, really fast and they're really, really good at what they do. And so, like, on the first day, we could have almost had that whole house built, I think. But the missionaries that were there, they wanted us to kind of slow down a little bit because that was cutting into their pay. And so this was us building the house, and obviously every picture you see of me, I'm just holding a board because there's really nothing that I can do. I just walk around and laugh at everybody. That's kind of my role on the team. And then we were getting this house built, and man, it was really just an incredible thing. We got to bring the family in, we got to pray over them, and we got to help them as they got into the house. That was the team, and it was just an incredible, incredible time. And it was just something about that building project, that when we were all together doing this, when we were working together, man, we could get it done. And like I said, they had to slow us down because, man, we were so quick. And by we, not me, them, we were so quick at what we were doing. Today, I want to talk to you out of the book of Genesis about a story of people who were building something and what God did when they were unified and how they scattered abroad. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 11. But before we get there, I have to do Genesis chapter 8 to kind of set up the story. Last week, Pastor Brent talked about Noah's Ark and survivor's guilt and all the things that happened there. I'm going to read a little bit out of Genesis chapter 8. Is everybody good this morning? All right. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, it says like this. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. 21, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, and he said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Chapter 9, verse 1 says like this. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. So after Noah comes off of the ark, he builds this altar and he worships God and he gives praise to God, and God hears the worship of his people and he's pleased by it, and he makes this promise to all of us saying, hey, I'm not going to flood this world again. I'm not going to destroy all of humanity again. That was his promise to Noah. And then God gives him a command in this. He says, hey, now it's just you. It's just you and your family. So go and multiply throughout all of the earth. Go inhabit this earth. Go take dominion over this earth. And now, like, I don't know if you guys have heard the story here, or if you've read the story of Noah's Ark, or if you've read even what we're going to talk about today, the Tower of Babel. When I think of these stories, sometimes I revert back to when I was in kids' church, and I had the little kids' Bible. Then I'd open up, and the picture and the cartoons of Noah's Ark, and like in the children's Bible, they never really talked about everyone dying, which is probably a good thing, right? And then you go to the Tower of Babel, and these like really happy people are building this tower. And like sometimes I think we can look at these scriptures and almost turn them into myths, or almost turn them into like cartoons in our head. But the truth of the story, and especially in the Tower of Babel, is there's a lot of evil happening here. And God had to step in mercy for the people of God. The Bible's very real about mankind's attempt at trying to be good and yet always falling on their face. About you and I, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And no more evidence can we see than we do in Genesis chapter 11. Now, one thing to know about the writer of Genesis, we think it's Moses, but a lot of times in the Old Testament, but especially in the first couple books of the Old Testament, they were not always concerned about writing chronologically, like we would be when we write things. We write chronologically. They were a lot of times more concerned about writing thematically. And so if you go to Genesis chapter 11, you read that, that's the story of what happens. But Genesis chapter 10, it's actually referred to as the Table of Nations. It's a genealogy. It's Noah's kids. It's how they multiplied. It's their family line and where and what happened there. It's the genealogy of those people. And so really, if you and I were going to read this, the Bible's not wrong, I'm not saying that, but really the way it should kind of look is Genesis chapter 10 actually happens after Genesis chapter 11. So if you're reading in those scriptures, that might kind of confuse you a little bit, but it's really Genesis chapter 11 is what leads to Genesis chapter 10. And so here we go. We're going to go to Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and one common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that they were building. And the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Verse 7, so come, let us go down and confuse our language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Verse 9, this is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Now I think it's easy to really read these scriptures and kind of become that Monday morning quarterback that looks and says, what were these people doing? How stupid are they? Like, God's done cool things for them. Like, God did amazing things for Noah. Like, why would they do this? It's easy to become that people. But if you really look at your life and you look at my life and you really look at the history of the world, we build towers of Babel all the time. We build towers of Babel in our lives, in your life, in your family's life. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, those towers that you and I build in our life. Genesis 11, verse 1, the world had one language and one common speech. I was doing some research on all this, and linguists would tell you that people believe that there was a common language, one common language that was always spoken, never written down, from about 4,500 to 2,500 years ago. And even today, like I was reading all these articles, even today, they're trying to reconstruct that language, and they're putting all this money and effort into it. I could have just said, hey, read the Bible, it tells you this, but they all came from one common language. Genesis 11, verse 2 says, as people moved eastward, by the way, moving eastward, they're moving away from Eden. God had pushed the people out of Eden. Noah's Ark happened, all this stuff happens, and they're moving more and more eastward. This is what we would call the Middle East, is where they're going to settle here. They found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Shinar is really, you could call it modern-day Turkey. That's kind of in that area. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Actually, in a lot of this research, archaeologists believe that they actually found the base of the Tower of Babel. And so that might be a thing for them, that they've actually found where it was at. And this tower, when you think of it, you can think of it like a skyscraper, you can think of it however you want, but what they would really have called this was they called it a ziggurat. It sounds like a weird, crazy word, But it wasn't necessarily a skyscraper. What it really looked like was steps into a temple. And the idea there, the most theologians believe, is that these people, Noah's ancestors, Noah's descendants, these people, they what they were trying to do was just reach up into the heavens. Here's the idea, that they were trying to become like God. You remember back in the garden, the lie that Satan told Adam that you could be like God? That they were trying to reach up into the heavens and become like God. Let's keep reading. Verse 4, otherwise they'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower and the people and what they were building. The Lord said, if as one people they can do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about this. Like, I remember reading this thinking, man, God was afraid of what they were going to do. Like, God was scared that they were going to make it up into heaven. Now, I think we understand that you can't build a ladder high enough to go into heaven. I think that's understandable. But that wasn't really the whole part of the story. God wasn't afraid that they were going to be so unified that they would become like a God. He wasn't afraid of that either. Realistically, the story kind of has a little bit of a funny kind of aspect to it. The way the language is written, it actually says that God, when they were building this tower, God didn't pay any attention to it. It was such a tiny, small thing that it was almost laughable to God. Like, we as humans, we thought, man, we have just engineered this amazing, incredible tower. We're going to get, like, this is the pinnacle of human technology, and God just kind of looks and laughs at it, right? And isn't that the story, by the way, of our world still? That God looks at what we call wisdom, and he calls it foolishness? That he has everything in his own hands? That the very God of the universe, just by speaking, made this entire universe? That it says in the scriptures that what we see right now, all the beauty that we see, are just small little fragments of God's actual creativity? Like, it's incredible. But we as humans have this arrogance that we can build and that we can do these amazing, incredible things. And God says, nothing that they plan will be impossible for them. And if you read that, yeah, man, like that's incredible. Like that's almost motivational. Like if we're united, then nothing we want to do can be stopped. But that's really not what God's trying to say. God saw after Noah, and we heard the story that Noah kind of descended into wickedness, and really all of his descendants after that descended into wickedness. And so even though God wiped the whole earth out, sin still resided in human hearts. And so they became evil more and more. And so what God's really saying here is if they're together as one, they could conjure up the most wicked, evil things and actually let those things happen. This is what he's saying. If I don't save them from themselves, they'll destroy themselves. This is not like a big pat on the back. This could go bad if they're unchecked. This could go bad if this is not good. We look at the world today and say, how can this world get any more evil? And it will. Because that's what the Bible tells us. And so this is God in his mercy showing up and saying, hey, we've got to do something here. Because if I don't, they'll be destroyed. So we go to verse 8. So the Lord scattered them. In his mercy, scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that's why it's called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. I used to see this story as something that just kind of ended in Genesis 11. Like, wait, that's a crazy, crazy story. But the more and more that I walk with Jesus, the more and more that I follow after God, the more and more do I realize that I pick up bricks and I build up my own towers and I build up my own ways of saying, God, I think I got this. God, I think I have it. God, I think I'm finally there. And I think probably in this room, many of us do as well. And so I want to talk about three towers, and we're going to be out of here. But the first tower I want to talk about that I think we build, and I don't even know if this is the right English to use, but I called it the Tower of Settling. The Tower of Settling. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I can bet on a few things in life. I can bet on a few things in life. I can always bet that we have an incredible worship team that's going to lead us in worship. Amen? I can always bet on that. I can always bet on the fact that no matter what happens, the sun will rise the next day. Amen? And I can always bet on this, Cassie, a couple years ago, she bought me a recliner. And I didn't know I'd be a recliner person. Some of you guys have like your chair in your house, right? And so she bought me this thing, and like I wasn't a recliner person. But when I sat down in it, like it's amazing. Right? Had my quiet time there. I watch TV. That's my place. I love to be there. And the thing that I can number one 100% bet on is that when I go and sit down, Cassie's going to want me to get up and do something for her. Like I can just every time guarantee you that when I finally sit down and get settled, she wants me to go to the refrigerator and get her a drink or something. Like it will always, always happen. And so when we talk about this tower of settling, I want you to think about these people. They were moving east, and God said, I want you to go and fill the world. Go and scatter around and fill the entire world. That was the command of God. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill up the earth. And yet they went to one spot, and they landed there. And they began to settle there. And they just said, no, this is it. We're going to build a city here. We're going to build a tower here. We are going to be like God ourselves. God called them to move, and yet they settled. Can I tell you that there are people, maybe even in this room today, that you've just kind of started to settle? That you've just kind of started to realize that, you know what, I'm where I want to be and I'm good. And maybe in your life you've accomplished a lot that you can do that. Maybe it's time for you to be able to rest a little bit. But I've learned more than anything else that whenever we start to settle, we start to regress and we start to go back. And here's what I'd really say. Let's take it to a spiritual principle. Some of you guys have settled for less than what God has for you in your life. Like, so if some of you have settled for 9 o'clock on Sunday morning is my time with the Lord, and that's it. Some of you have settled for the idea that, man, I'm going to come and I'm going to serve one time a week, one time a month, one time a quarter, and that's my gift to the Lord. And I'm settling in that. And I'm not trying to put works on you. I'm not trying to tell you that you have to earn your way to God. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am telling you is if you've started to settle, we start to move backwards. A couple nights ago, I was at a friend's house, and they made a steak and salad, which was, I don't know if you know, that's a lot better than my normal Chick-fil-A diet that I'm on. And I'm just gonna tell you, so many of us in this room, we settle for the crumbs of life and not for the abundant life that God has for you and for me. We settle for this idea that if I just do this much, then I'm okay. That if I just do this little bit right here, then I'm good. And so we start to settle. And this is the church sometimes. And I hope, man, I'm believing in faith that God's moving us into greater things in 2024. Because I'm afraid that sometimes we become the people in this story that say, you know what? I don't want to go and do much more than what we're doing right now. We really want to go reach those people? Because if we reach those people, then maybe I got to hide my purse a little bit when I come to church. Do we really want to go and do that kind of mission work? Like those people, they should do it themselves. Like we're enabling people. Like do we become the people that we settle? Like it's just me and my small group and my little team and I'm good. And they just settle in where they're at when God has a huge adventure out there for you and for me. A huge mission field for you and for me. Well, man, it's just me and my saved group right here. Well, what about the neighbor that you have that needs to know who Jesus is? What about the coworker that needs to know who Jesus is? Well, no. Right now, I got to think about myself. Right now, it's about me. I've pushed too much time into my kids, or I've pushed too much time into my husband. I need some me time. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible calls us every day. I love you. I love you. I love you. To die to yourself. That's not fun at 9 a.m., I know. But it's the truth of God. The more you fill up with yourself, the more you get filled with yourself. And by the way, nobody lies to you more than you lie to yourself. We need more Jesus in us. Don't settle for where you're at. We settle for a life that's less than, again, when God's called us to an abundant life. Settling for less will always, always cost you more. I was reading about them building this tower and the bricks and all the mortar and all that stuff. And what they're saying is in that area of the world, that brick and that mortar, it was twice as hard to build with that stuff that they had right there But they decided, you know what? I'm going to do double the work that I have to do to build this tower up. And again, God says to you, quit living off crumbs. Quit doing double work. Quit trying to make yourself right with God. Quit trying to prove to God that you love him by, if I just read a little bit more scripture, then I'm good. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Don't settle for what God has for your life, and don't settle for less than what God has for your life, because it always costs you more in what you're doing. It will always cost you more in what you're doing. Today, God wants to remind some of you that settling less is going to destroy your life. Everyone still with me right now? Number two, I think we settle, and this one's kind of close to the other one. We settle for, or the second tower I think we built is the tower of security. The tower of security. This is a lot like the first one. There is some differences. A huge topic in research right now is this thing called intergenerational trauma. It's the idea that as a parent or as a parent, like if you have trauma in your life, that they actually say that it could actually change your DNA and that you pass that on to your descendants, that could actually go into other, like, so things that you were afraid of can be passed on into your kids and they'll be afraid of it. And this is crazy, crazy idea. And last week we talked a lot about the fact that Noah might have had survivor's guilt, that he came off the ark and realized, man, it's just me, that he watched his friends die. And he had this survivor's guilt. And so one of the questions people ask is, why did they build this tower? And some people believe they built the tower because they were afraid that God might send another flood anyways. That God said, I'm not going to flood the earth, but they said, hey, well, anyways, we're going to build this tower up just in case it happens again. Just in case God's not true to his promise. Just in case he doesn't do what he says he does. Just in case I can't believe his word. Just in case where he says, surely goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Maybe that's not really true for me. And so they built this tower. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with building security in your life. You should probably do that, right? But sometimes we make security our bank accounts. And sometimes we make security the things that we own. And the things that we have. And sometimes we make security all the things that people say about us. Or sometimes we make security out of the way we handle our kids. And sometimes we make security out of all the crazy political TV that we watch. And all the crazy bunker stuff that we watch. And all the conspiracy that, like, we make security out of trying to be knowledgeable about the world around us. And here's the truth. If your security is not in Christ, you have no security at all. There is no security outside of who Jesus Christ is. I love this story in the New Testament, and I should have put it on the screen. But these people come up to Jesus, and they say, hey, Jesus, there was this tower of Siloam, and it fell, and it killed a lot of people. What do you got to say about that? Why did it happen, Jesus? Like, why did these people die? You know what Jesus responded to him with? He just said, it could happen to you. I don't like that scripture. They ask Jesus a direct question, and he doesn't answer it. He says, you know what you should do? You should repent, because it might be you next time. If you don't have your security in Christ, you don't have anything at all. I don't know how to say it other than there are just mysteries in the world around us. I don't know why good people have bad things happen to them. I don't know why bad people get blessings. I don't know why babies die. I don't know why people go through cancer. I don't know any of those things, but I do know this. If my foundation isn't Christ, I have no foundation at all. And so your security has to be found in who Jesus is. My security, again, is not in my bank account. My security is not in how much Bible I'm reading. My security is not in how many minutes of prayer I have. My security is not in how fast I'm holding on to Jesus. My security is in bad times, how much he's holding on to me. And you've got to find that for yourself. What are you building around you that you're saying, you know what? Even if he doesn't, I still got this. Even if he doesn't, I still have this. The Bible tells us a story of there's two men who build a house. One man builds it on sand. One man builds it on concrete. You know how the story goes. The storm comes through and it washes the sand house away. You know what I love about that story? Is the storm comes for both houses. You might be in like vacation mode, everything's good in your spiritual life, and I'm here to tell you at 9:55, in the most depressing way, the storm's coming for you. And where is your security? Where is your security when that bad day happens? Where is your security when the doctor walks in the door and says, you know what, there's not a heartbeat anymore? Where is the security when everything around you crumbles? Because if it's in you, you will fall. Or maybe you actually succeed. And the Bible tells us that. What is a man if he gains the world and yet loses his soul? Where is your security found? Let's do one more. I know you don't. Last one I think we build is a tower of significance. They gathered together. The guy who built the tower, his name was Nimrod, by the way, which is about right. They gathered together. They say, let's build a city and make a name for us. Let's make a name for us. They were working hard to make themselves feel valued, to make themselves have a name, to have accomplishment, to put a couple letters at the end of their name, make themselves feel good. Again, I believe all of us in this room, we make towers. Like maybe your tower is just a bunch of to-do lists. Maybe your tower is just a bunch of degrees that you have. Your reputation, your emotions. I think the question that I want to ask you today is, does God play a supporting role in your story? Or do you play a role in God's story? Who are you trying to make much of in your life? And this is a question for me. Who am I trying to make much of in my life? Is it about Matt? Is it about Matt and Cassie? Because there's a lot of times where it is. And God has to burn that outside of me. Let me plead with you today. Significance is not found in people's opinion of you or your outer appearance. Significance is found in the fact that you are called beloved by the Most High, God in heaven. Everything else you have is an illusion. Are you building the Tower of Babel in your own life to make your own name good? There's nothing wrong with having a good name, but is it about putting the spotlight on you and not on who Jesus is? The Bible tells us, not to us, but to your name be the glory. God came down and he destroyed their best laid plans, and he scattered them abroad. You know what's crazy about this story? Is God's commandments, whatever he commands, will come to pass. He said, be fruitful and multiply and scatter across the earth. They said no, and yet they still did. He confused their language, and they scattered across the whole entire earth. It's a good reminder that no matter what your plans are, everything that we have, everything that we own, one day is going to end up in a landfill. I heard a theologian say that anything done with your hands will crumble, but anything done for Jesus will last forever. Are you building towers to yourself, to your security, to your significance? Or are you building monuments and altars to the Lord himself? Maybe it's time to deconstruct the Babel in our own life. I know it is for me. The Bible's pretty full of these times where Jesus kind of reverses things. We talk about the curse that was given to us by God in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible tells lots of stories of Jesus reversing the curse when he comes to the earth. Like one of them, easy, is in the Garden of Eden. They're in this garden and they go against God's call. They go against what? They're disobedient to God. Jesus kind of reverses that story when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's obedient to God. Right, that's a reversal. And another one you can see is that God's curse brought thorns and thistles into the world. And we see that on the cross, Jesus puts on a crown of thorns. Like he takes on the curse himself. Another one that a lot of theologians see here in this story is actually if you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. In the book of Acts, this is the story of the beginning of the church. And the disciples are in the upper room together, and they're praying. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that all the nations of the world are gathered there. This is after Jesus had died. This is Rome. There's tons and tons of people there. And the disciples are all talking, and they begin to pray. And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit just rushes into that room, and tongues of fire descend on the people. And as they walk outside, the disciples, they're speaking in tongues. I know you might be scared of that. They're not. They're speaking in tongues. And the tongues that they're speaking are to all the people in the crowd of different ethnicities, different languages, and they're hearing what the disciples are saying in their own language. It's this crazy story of God using them and speaking in tongues, and there's people who get saved in that moment. Again, the reversal here is that God confused the language of the people in Babel and scattered them abroad, and in the story of Pentecost, they reverse that whole thing by God taking the Holy Spirit, using the words, and uniting people around Jesus. It's a beautiful reversal. And here's what I'd say to you today. Whatever tower you're building, there's still time for Jesus to reverse that in your life. There's still time for Jesus to reverse those things in your life. With everyone's head bowed and eyes closed in this room, I just want to make sure I give this time to you for a second. The Bible tells us that anyone who confesses and believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord, that they can be saved. Today, maybe you need to know who Jesus is. Maybe you need to know who he is and what he did for you. He died on a cross for you. He took the punishment of sin, death, and hell for you. And all you have to do is believe in him. The way we do it around here is we pray a simple prayer. It's not anything complicated. But if you want to know Jesus today, you want to give your life to him today, you can pray this prayer with me. Pray it in your head. You can pray it out loud, however you want to. But here is the prayer. God, today, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my mistakes. God, I know I've built up towers in my life. And God, I want to give those all to you. With the best that I have in me right now, I do believe you died on the cross. I do believe you raised from the dead. And with that confession, I believe I'm saved.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.